listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat. All right, it's October 27th, 2014. Just doing a quickie audio chat. Maybe it's quick, maybe it's long. I got a few minutes, so I thought I'd go to chat.fakeologist.com and see who's around. We've got some of our favorite fakeologists lurking around. It is evening here in North America, and it's late at night, I suppose, over in Europe. We've got Unreal on the line. I thought, let's just talk about the days of events. Why not? There's a whole deck of PsyOps and hoax going on all around the world, so it doesn't really take any imagination to start chatting, Unreal.
I just listened to your show with Sash One, and I found it really good.
Did you? I'm glad. I appreciate that. I never know if it goes well or not. Sometimes I always feel at the end of the show that I didn't make it interesting enough for people. Never sure at all. Sometimes I'm never satisfied with my questioning and subsequent answers. So it's always good to hear good positive feedback if possible.
Yeah, no, it was a really fresh view on as well Ebola as on the 9/11 witness account of people being in New York City.
Well, I have to tell you, I was very skeptical when that came up. That was out of the blue. And I don't like doubt people, but, you know, just about every witness we've ever heard is unbelievable.
I know.
One, he has to know. I come from a very skeptical and suspicious point of view. So when he started on that, I thought, uh-oh, here we go. Here we go. So, but nothing he said was contrary to my current view. And we have to admit it's quite possible his story could be true, what he saw.
Yeah, I think so too. He sounds like a very restrained guy that doesn't fantasize about some unbelievable tales. So if he indeed was delivering and he had the feeling that the towers was mainly empty, I think that's a good clue that that was probably how they would stage it, so people would believe it was in activity, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so that... Yeah, he brought up a hologram, which, of course, I don't believe any part of holograms. When he did that, it also made me very nervous that we were going to go into fantasy land. But
yeah, I understand that. But I just thought it was such a provocative thought, the fact that he's suspicious that viruses actually does not cause illness at all.
Yes, he's right up your way of thinking. Every aspect of his videos and way of thinking is what I appreciate. I do appreciate his point of view. So for that, I thought he was right on. Of course, I don't have any background in medicine, so I really don't have much to go on. So,
but as this show was on Ebola, I think that the 9/11 angle was a less important one, in the sense that you had him on the show for his knowledge on illness and Ebola. And I think it's not so important if the guest does not have exactly all views on 9/11. But as you say, it can sound a bit strange sometimes.
Yes, that's true. He was not brought on for 9/11. And I always try and weave it into the conversation because it's a natural point of view, so I don't mind asking people. And when he told me that, it was quite a shock, of course. I don't think I've ever talked to anyone that I believe was actually there on 9/11, so his story was pretty interesting to me, as were his views on Ebola, as were his comments on new, what does he call it? Something New Germany?
The new German medicine.
I never heard of that, had you?
No, but I just saw that the main proponent had lived in Norway, so I checked a little bit up, and he has been persecuted by the Norwegian Doctor Association, everything, and they have actually had him outed without even having studied his medicine.
Well, that's a good sign then.
Yeah, they admitted in court that they didn't even spend 15 minutes to study what he actually had to say about medicine.
That's a good sign that he's on the right track if they don't want to hear anything he has to say.
Yes, I really appreciated his thoughts on illness, and it's a fact that the placebo and non-SIBO effect is very real, and I guess from that point on, easy to suspect that they are very aware of this and actually are able to use it in a very meaningful way to them, I guess.
Did you watch his videos, his five-part series on Ebola?
No, I didn't. I actually am quite into AIDS at the time, so and also on the polio virus and then vaccines, so I kind of get the gist that they are continuing the same meme. But I do agree with Szechuan on one thing. It's the fact that the most scary part is that maybe one day they will try to implement the vaccination by force, and they actually tried that in France last time. So that's the scary part, I think. It's the way that they tend to try to have us all inoculated with something.
Yeah, I always thought that was for the good.
Yeah, they just want to have us healthy.
I just thought it was because people were ignorant of just to see we have Blue Moon in the chat room at chat.fakeologist.com, and our GOS in the chat room at chat.fakeologist.com. So we have Tom over there. We got lots of people tonight, so anyone wants to come on the audio chat, I'm going to come in and come out as my evening progresses because I have things to do. But everyone is welcome, of course, to come chat about the day's events and PSYOPs and past show. I see anyone, if there was anyone who listened to last night's broadcast with Szechuan from the YouTubers, come over here and give your audio feedback. Talking now with Unreal.
It had been such a long time since there was a regular show, so it's like it was a really nice surprise to have such a good show on yesterday.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you saying that. And
as much as you like new voices, it's like for us listeners, I guess, to discover new theories and new people that do interesting things is it's a big plus. There are so not so many left out there, I think, that has so much interesting to say. And I think Szechuan has some interesting things to say about illness for sure.
Yeah, and it's not my biggest interest, I'll be honest with you. Not really big into all this, but from a deception point of view, and from a living longer point of view, since I'm at the middle of my life, and I would like to live another bunch of years. I want to try and tiptoe through the tulips of life, try not to step on the poisons and end my life early. So I think it's important to listen to all these people and try and figure out what is real about health and medicine and what is poison. Because we're not always getting the full story or the actual story or real story, or might be just getting the oil industry, big pharma industry point of view, which may not be the same as living longer point of view.
Yeah, and if you look at the vaccination question, what Szechuan said, I think, is like, for him, he sees vaccination as a nearly an inversion of sorts, where actually the adjuvants is the real deal, and the virus is just some proteins that are not so important for the overall effect.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know what on earth is in vaccines. I don't think anyone really trusts what's in them either. And I always thought this whole vaccination causing autism was a big load of baloney, especially when some of the celebutards were out promoting it. I was very suspicious of that. And if even if autism exists, now I'm as confused as ever. I'm happy to everybody.
Well, I did look into a little bit of the fact that I suspect the ruling elite to actually try to give us examples of stars that are suffering from the same illnesses that they give us, right? Because then we think everybody can have it. But yeah. I actually think that many of the stars, they are just acting their illness.
Yeah, well, yeah, we said that. Now I wonder if Rock Hudson and Freddie Mercury really died, or they were just celebrity deaths to show the dangers and the virility of AIDS. I'm wondering about that now. Freddie Mercury, of course, was the lead singer of Queen, very popular. He went out on a high note for sure, even though the band itself was in decline. But I think his popularity skyrocketed when it was known or we were told that he was ill. And I still listen to the concert at Wembley. I think the AIDS thingy. I have to look that up now.
What would be funny is that we discovered that he maybe wasn't gay and that he was just promoting the gay cause, you know.
Well, we certainly, you never know. Well, first of all, nobody, I don't believe anyone's gay. I don't think someone is something. I think you can be, I think it's a behavior. I think we are all human. He's a man, I think. And but if he chooses to behave with homosexual behavior, that's quite different than being born a certain way. He's born with the same genes that most men are born with. I don't think there's anything to identify anyone as being a certain way. So if he behaves like a homosexual, I prefer to use that terminology.
Yeah, and I feel like that kind of behavior is heavily promoted and has been for some definite time.
Absolutely. Can you hear that? Or do I have this set up wrong?
I can hear it, but only vaguely.
I have it set up wrong. That's wonderful. Oh, I know why.
Good intro music on your latest show, too.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah, I did.
Can you hear that now?
The same as before.
Oh, okay. That's not good. You like the intro music, Major Tom? Oh, hold on. You there now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why this is not. Sometimes things just the way you want them to. Audio chat setup. Settings. Option. Play this for the fans. Can you hear that now?
Yeah, now I can hear it fine.
For no reason, it changed. I didn't even do a thing. Huh. This is Freddie Mercury at Wembley, and this was a great concert.
Dee-da-dee-da-dee-da. Fuck you.
I'm always amazed at how people can control a crowd. That crowd is so big, so amazing.
How many people was there?
Well, it's Wembley. It's Wembley hold, because it was, I would think.
Probably maybe 80,000 then.
Yeah, I was going to say 80,000, yeah. Unbelievable. But I just wanted to play that, because I'm very curious. Very curious what happened with this guy.
Yeah, it was some time ago. What year did he pass away?
It was in the early 90s. This is Wembley Stadium, July 13th, 1985. You want to listen to a bit of this, or do you want to chat? Sorry, I just like this concert footage. I like concert footage. I'm amazed at performers that can hypnotize a crowd that big. Fascinating to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's a phenomenon that I know the elites, they want to capture and exploit.
But in the same time, it's like the same spell he can put on 80,000 people in Wembley. I think that spell is put on us as a global civilization by the people in charge. So I think they, too, they really know how to manipulate masses, as you say. And it's a very peculiar thing that individuals become one bigger entity that actually cannot think for itself.
I know. Well, they don't want to think for themselves. They enjoy being talked to and told what to think. I think it's a default state. We'll really seek out these people to lead them sometimes over a cliff.
Or into a maze.
Into a maze, indeed. I see Dal entered the lobby. 80,000, he says. 80,000 at Wembley. Well, Dal, if you want to, let me just play a bit of this Queen, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, not at all.
Unreal.
To make you cry.
It's all for a famous biopsy.
Yeah, just so everyone knows, we're listening to Mercury and Queen at Wembley, 1985. Just playing a little bit of it because it's sort of relevant to the conversation we were having with Unreal and anyone else who wants to join in on the stream. Had a few minutes tonight to break in and just play a little music and chat. This audio stream is not just about pure fakeology. I was tying this in with the concept that some of our leaders, musical or otherwise, are used by the PRC, the predatory ruling class, to send messages and lead the herd. And you see a concert like this, and this was Live Aid, of course, went around the world. There hasn't been too many shows like this that have duplicated the massive audience. And of course, there haven't been too many musical leaders like Freddie Mercury can convey a message. But I personally like the music and enjoy this concert immensely. And I am now suspicious of what message that they were trying to convey through Freddie, whether he was really someone who acted as a homosexual, whether he really had some kind of debilitating autoimmune dysfunction that they may misrepresent as AIDS, or if it was all a fabrication just to show the enormity and the severity of AIDS, and that even people that we look up to and we consider impervious to destruction, the fallibility of the regular people can happen to important and big people. For instance, our musical heroes, as it were, the people look up to. So that's why I'm playing it tonight. It's a little bit different. Sometimes I start playing and then I just like the music so much, I just want to keep playing it. If there's anyone else who wants to join in, I'm just looking in the chat now. It just shows how I don't multitask. Let's see if I can bring Tom into the live stream, if he is able to chat. Hi, Tom. Can you hear me? I don't hear you, Tom. I just see your light go on, so obviously your mic is maybe causing difficulty again. Oh, well. I agree. I'll just play a little more. Someone just sent me a link to Fetzer Show K22, who I was just starting to listen to.
How's that? Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, now I can hear you.
Excellent.
I just started playing some link that someone just sent me. What do you have any comments, opinions on Freddie Mercury and Queen?
Yeah, sure, Tim. Well, as you know, I'm a 30-year amateur, really, singer. It's a rock and roll. I love it. I've been there. I've been in it. I've known people. I've hung out in, you know, with Ringo Starr's daughter and Lemmy from Motorhead. And, you know, I've got friends now. I run an open mic. I've got friends who are in the business still. And I love it. I love it. And I'm fascinated by it. And also, I am what you might call, in quotes, a fakeologist as well. So
you're one of the most subscribed fakeologists. I see people who come to the site, and you're certainly the most frequent visitor, I would say, that's logged in anyway. So we're happy to have you, of course. So,
well, thanks, Tim. I know. I mean, you're a good host, and you know, I hope I graciously. I'm glad I'm welcome. I hope so.
We like you. I'm amazed at the people that spend so much time on the site. I think it's great, and we like your contributions, and you seem to have similar interests with music that I do.
I'm one of those people that I think, like SMJ, that I'm logged on all the time. If the computer's on all the time and I'm logged in, but I'm not here half the time, you know. Certainly I'm certainly a regular, absolutely, from sort of years back, over, you know, 12 months, 18 months, you know. Yeah, because it's where do you go for your news? I think where do you know what I mean?
we've got some news when I can follow it. Yeah, it probably isn't always interesting to people from outside Canada, because that's where I am and that's what I somewhat I'm interested in, because it's local and somewhat affects me more than, say, something that happens over in England or the Western United States or Australia. But
well, sure,
it's all the same.
Yes. And to someone like Unreal, who I hear a French accent there, but bonjour, monsieur, ça va?
Oui, ça va bien.
Je ne parle pas français, mais je parle pas un peu parce que c'est, I don't know, civil or something. I don't know.
You're doing well.
That's very good. C'est très bien.
C'est pas mal, mais en Canada, you parle new. Oh, I don't know. You parle. You speak a lot of French, don't you?
No, not where I'm from. They try and force it upon us in school, and it's the official other language, of course. But no, it's not well used. It's a declining worldwide language. Even in Quebec, because Quebec has the lowest birth rate, they struggle to keep the numbers of French-speaking people alive. It's a big struggle, I'm sure, for them.
En Angleterre, nous étudions pour 5 ans, peut-être. C'est normal. Peut-être en plus. Well, you 5 years we study for, or maybe, you know, everyone does at school a little bit. Everyone forgets it. People get lazy with English, but they're unable to, because that's been the sort of given to us language by, hasn't it really, I suppose, one of them anyway.
I believe English was crafted in like the 1600s along with Shakespeare, more or less. So it is a more recent language, and probably better in the use of controlling what we think, I guess.
It's the language of the United States and a lot of the media, of the worldwide Hollywood media.
And it's very good in music.
Yes. Which is a good very good link back to the very interesting question, which ties in with something you were talking about, celebrities and illness, UN, with the Freddie Mercury question and Queen, which I thought was, which drew me in. And I thought, very interesting band. I mean, look at that name alone, Queen, the most successful rock band in the world, possibly, outstanding at this worldwide concert. Promoting that name, that idea of royalty, even that alone. And you think, well, by 1974, powers that be would have been well on top and sophisticated enough to sort of, you know, fashion a really good, great rock act to sort of guide them to the very top. And, you know, they seem to me, in retrospect, perhaps definitely to have, you know, a big amount of contrivance maybe, but yeah. Yeah, man, I'm so close to this stuff, living in England. It tests my, you know, these things always still test my credibility. So, yeah. But you know what I mean, Queen, and isn't it obvious? They must have been set up to.
Well, I'm never sure that these things are set up from the very beginning. But I think they could be compromised as their popularity goes on. Anyone that's really popular that probably gets pulled to the top. There's got to be a lot of small bands, and they just don't know what's going to catch on necessarily. But once they're pulled to the top, they're given
So once they got
the rules and regulations.
But how many big record companies are there? I mean, don't you think they would control what's getting popular or not? I think so.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't John. How do they know for sure what's going to catch on?
They own the radio stations.
No, I know that, but you can pump a lot of stuff out that just doesn't get any traction. Yeah, you can psychic drive music, but not everything takes. And I don't think it's an exact science.
Reminds me on your George Bush citation, you just have to tell it enough times so people get it.
I think you make a good point, Ab, in the sense that, you know, Freddie Mercury was brilliantly talented. You know, you can't just invent that. You can't make that someone, you know, can you just invent that kind of genius or whatever, that kind of charisma? No. You find it and then you groom it. And then perhaps. So there's got to be an element of that in it as well. But I think that Unreal's point is as well, keep it simple. You know, when you look at the end product, God, it really, there's a lot of control there probably and promotion in the end, isn't there? And they've got, and in the end, I think they're so co-opted. This is what Lemmy said. He said, they were just co-opted by money, you know, simple as that. They had a kind of all the real rock and rollers who had kind of revolutionary ideas and everything.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Every time I've said that. Probably say it 3 more times, see. In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Kind of catapult the propaganda.
I mean, at the end
kind of
the
catapults
day,
the propaganda.
The lies are so banal. The lies are so banal at the end of the day. We can have all these discussions and talk about the minutiae, but at the end of the day, someone's just saying, yes, it is that. And you're saying, no, it isn't. It's as simple as that. And they just repeat it over and over, and that's just what is law. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I don't doubt that, yeah.
But yes, my birthday today. It's funny because I was speaking to you again. I did it on my birthday, I think, a year ago.
Oh, did you? Yeah, happy birthday. Skype told me it was your birthday.
Funny.
That's how I know.
I mean, so happy, you know, it's playing a bit of Queen there. I mean, you said about, it's an interesting the way
that... You disappeared on us. You were going so strongly there.
Oh, I took my finger off the shift button. We had the chronology of the history of it, because at the start of the 80s in England, we had Boy George, remember, with Culture Club, and it was Karma Chameleon. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this was kind of a kind of change in a clearly homosexual man who was cross-dressing and openly gay. And
David Bowie?
Boy George.
Oh, yeah, and David Bowie too. They just came one after the other, homosexual themes.
Yes, we have Frankie Goes to the Hollywood with The Relax, which was an overtly sexual song. Yes.
Yeah.
Like that, Tom?
Well, no, not particularly. It was a massive hit, though, a massive worldwide hit.
I like it.
Oh, look, I do like it, and I like the man in a way, you know?
Yeah.
I've met him, you know, I've seen him, I've been him, I've worked with him from feet away, really. That's what I've done.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Big deal. He's DJing when I was just tossing pancakes at a May Ball, I think, you know. But, you know, I've always thought he was an engaging character, and I think he sold that well in the sense where probably a puppet that he was. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And this open homosexuality was sold to us through the popular culture and the music. That's 81, Boy George, massive number one in England. Then by 83, we had Frankie Goes to Hollywood with a song called Relax. And it was
wasn't it Body Double that song was featured into?
Which song? Frankie?
Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Body Double, the film.
Ah, okay, Body Double. There you go.
Here's the song, I'll just play a bit of it.
And it's overtly sexual, you know, you could say it was groundbreaking, in that sense.
I've never even seen this Frankie Goes to Hollywood video.
Well, you'd wonder, looking back at that, it's probably very interesting to study it. I don't know what was being put across, but, I mean, it's certainly one message. Homosexuality with some sadomasochism there, when you want to come, I mean, it's a specific sexual reference, which was number one in the pop charts and played all day and on English radio and things, you know. Well, it was banned on one show, but we saw it, you know, everyone was singing it. When you want to come, and you see, that's 1983, very famous worldwide hit, I think that was 1983, and then by 19
get out there.
We have, 1985 then, we have 1985, the hit, the song, Live Aid, for Live Aid. We had Live, sorry, I'm gabbling. We had Live Aid.
Okay. So we're just going to cut out for 1 second here.
We've got Live, all right, Evil, backwards, and we've got Aid, all right? Live Aid. So that's Aid. And then...
But Aid is also Die, you know, in reverse.
You tell me, you clever man, you know, it's absolutely so, there you go. That can work like that. So there we go. So that was that. And then 87, of course, and you played footage from 85 and Live Aid went around the world massive. Bob Geldof did it. And you've seen some of my thoughts on Bob Geldof and some of the things I found out about him, in a sense, some of the links. But 87, we had AIDS. So you hear this, you see the homosexuality is sort of brought out into the open and seem more acceptable. which to me seemed a pretty good thing. I had a friend who couldn't come out and killed himself effectively because he was gay. Then I have, but you know, confused in this weird world, you know. And then you have Frankie Goes to Hollywood, this open sexuality, saying how promiscuous they are, you know, in a way. This sadomasochism, look at them. They're showing it openly, making it number one. And then and then Live AIDS, and then AIDS. And it was, I think they were just very, very big basic things that were that I was presented with through my life, my young life, that I clearly see now as contrived. And
well, maybe not Mercury. From the get-go, but it was a theme for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how well planned these things are.
Do you not
it's complex.
Well, yeah. Well, you may look going on, and you might think, well, this overt sexuality, the homosexuality, we've got to put a damper on it because we can't have them to as a remedy rather than a sort of say you're adapting as you go. I tend to think that the control is greater than that, and perhaps I'm giving them too much credit there. Yeah, I don't know. Always interesting to think about these
things. I definitely feel that homosexuality is a long-term agenda, just like feminism has been. And it's all made to weaken the family links.
Yeah, well, it's worked. Family is as weak as ever. Marriage is an outdated concept. All these things have occurred. No doubt about that in my mind.
No, I think I tend to agree with you.
Sadly.
Well, you said earlier, Tim, I think about homosexuality. You said, in a sense, I didn't know quite what you meant. You said it's not a choice. It's a choice. That's what you said. It's a choice. You don't think you're born like it.
Yeah, I just meant it's a behavior. I classify it as a behavior. It's human behavior, just like I think it's in the same category as someone who is as S&M, of course. That's current in the Toronto news now. One of the media darlings of the pattering classes, people that consider themselves educated and more intelligent, is now at the top of the news, being promoted as somebody who likes to get into S&M and bondage. Of course, you're not born with that gene or any of that biological nonsense. It's just a behavior, something that you're interested in, and it's what you do. But it certainly doesn't. It's certainly not innate in any way. It's just the way your mind decides to behave and guide your body and your actions, of course.
Two nice guys might really feel lovely and warm sitting down, holding hands, and watching the Grand Prix.
But that's behavior. I'm just saying it's not born with that. You can be suggested, or be in a culture that promotes it, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
I just don't think it's something you're born with. There's no biology.
I really don't know, because those people talk about, oh yeah, there's a gene, there's a gay gene. I don't know. I really don't know. I choose
not to believe that. I don't know either. We have to make our choices, and psychologists make their choices.
Yeah, sure. So I mean, we have to say we're getting back to Freddie. If AIDS is this great con that it seems to be, and this mess that I don't really know, and it's not a specialist area of me, but could he then have been like, said, right, you know, we're doing a deal with you, Freddie, but you're going to be a flagship man for us for AIDS, and we're going to have all this play out is going to go, and it's been going to be for the good of mankind, and you're going to be this great hero, and you can have it in your own lifetime, and you can see your own death, you know, and that he looks to me. Some of these things.
That's actually appealing, what you just said there. That is an appealing notion. You can see your own death. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, hey, man, he's got the money for it. He's the great star. Live the dream, baby. It's a kind of magic. But, I mean, I think life is magic, even for anyone, everyone, you know.
They probably told him we can fix your teeth and we can make you a good life and you can see yourself being really successful.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
It must have happened loads of times. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate that because I think I'm skeptical about a lot of them, but definitely that must happen. Your DCP, whatever it is.
Yes. The dead celebrity program. I think that exists. It's certainly a neat concept anyway.
I'm totally with you on it, but I always have been to an extent, but I think we have to be careful with these things. You know, you can go carried away with some people that were genuinely brilliantly talented, you know, and had a sort of, you know,
But I never thought that would be the appeal. That is such a powerful concept. The appeal of seeing everyone's reaction to your death. Now, it would be very, very difficult to keep your mouth shut once you saw that you were celebrated in death. How tempting would it be to just say, oh, no, I'm here. I'm here, everyone. I'm here. It was just a joke, but thank you for being so kind to me in death. That would be fascinating.
This is a more complex thought, though, but imagine if Freddie Mercury is just one facet of the guy's personality and that he actually also has another existence as himself somewhere. So all that happens when he dies is like his public persona dies and he just continues his private life.
Well, yeah, I would say that. Yeah, I would agree with that. But wouldn't that be great to watch everyone's reaction to you?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, in a sense, perhaps we have the kind of the insight that we have some of the amazing knowledge it feels like we have. It feels like you're the invisible man, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Other people can't see what you can see, and you can almost walk through this nonsense, the bullshit, and wow.
Yeah.
You know? And then, so they could, in a way, that's how a famous person could do it. For them, it would be like the invisible man. He had a song of that. I'm the invisible man.
Did he?
Invisible. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know his whole library.
No, I don't. I'm not such a great fan. I haven't got any of their music to, you know, it's not music I live by, but I love all the stuff, really. Rock, the production on it's fantastic. The playing is fantastic. It absolutely rocks. They were great players. I think they were a great band, really. You know, they rocked.
Oh, I love Queen. No doubt. Queen has the Invisible Man.
Freddie sang that. Yeah, I think so. Definitely was a later one, you know. So that ties in perhaps with that idea, doesn't it? Yeah, that idea of him. It's doable, isn't it? I mean, but I'm sure it must have been done in history.
Incredible how you can ride through me. That's interesting. Interesting song. Very good. I sort of remember that. I don't think that got too much traction. Talk about music.
No, it wasn't their great. Not at all one of their greatest hits. I just thought it very much fitted in. I thought it was interesting looking at, you know, a song that he wrote, you know, The Invisible Man, just as we were talking about, if that's what he planned to do.
Yeah, what a benefit. I can see that would be an appeal, though, of entering the DC, trying to figure out if money was enough motivation. But yeah, wouldn't we all just love to see people's reaction to us, what people would carry on like after we died? That would be quite a fantastic thing to experience. Of course, you would have to know that you couldn't say anything looking in, but it would be a fascinating opportunity.
But as he was such a big front figure for AIDS, too, in some ways, don't you think that he's completely contrived in the sense that he would probably be able to understand what AIDS was, maybe, as Magic Johnson did, you know?
Well, if he even had any autoimmune disease or any immunity from homosexual behavior, if that was even true, I don't know. We didn't get to see him on his deathbed, did we?
No, I mean, I've read a book of one of his supposed lovers till the end, who was in the house with him. It was a sad book. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a book.
It's a book.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was You know, he didn't break that he was gay until the day he announced, till the day he died. It came out, I'm gay, boom, he's dead. So, and I've got AIDS. You know, so they didn't milk it. It was, and that's 1991. So he didn't sort of, it was always kind of vague. He was one of those old show business gays that he didn't really
come Magic out. Johnson was in 1992.
No. Magic Johnson was sort of at the tail end of the AIDS media event.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going
strong. They brought him with AIDS to the Barcelona Olympic Games.
But in the last 10, there's a whole generation today that doesn't think about AIDS already. We call them the millennials. In this new millennium, they don't. AIDS is not at all on their radar.
No, it never lasted.
That's why Ebola, bringing it through Ebola, and I think Zach was saying 33 years later to the month, is... It's just a rebranding of the whole hoaxology surrounding viruses. And there's a whole generation that has no idea.
Nemesis to put that on our MH17 thread. He said 33 years ago that it was the AIDS, because it was the AIDS doctors got us thinking about that with the plane, wasn't it? Then the monkeys, and it was, you know, then the film references, and then there was this disease being spread around in the latest Planet of the Apes film. And then other references to previous films with monkeys and disease. And then next thing, we've got Ebola in Africa.
Yeah, and it's all the same techniques of propaganda and all the same themes are used, I believe, with Ebola. So there's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun anyway. So why not bring out this history? And, of course, the old saying, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Or quite similarly, those who don't remember their history are doomed to be frayed all over again for all the same reasons. And even though these are well-known established concepts, because people are so distracted or ignorant, they can still roll them out and fool the majority of the people the majority of the time, where they just have a slim segment of society like us who discuss this, but we have no effect on the general overall population, which, of course, is the whole point of psychological operation.
Well, if you believe the official history, you're probably more easily duped into believing it's true, too. So I think you need to know your fakeology to actually understand more about it.
Yeah, sure.
Because history is so contrived, and I think it's tied down to books and schools that delivers most of the books. So it's controlled information at the base. So it's really not so difficult, I think, to control what's getting edited and out there. It's only now with the internet that we have so many diversified sources that it's getting a little bit out of hand. But at the same time, they probably can control that in some ways too, with the shadowing on the internet and everything.
Oh sure, yeah. They can steer. They can deny websites. It's so easy. Here's something funny. I use a piece of software that stopped working, and then I realized, because I have a little bit of technical knowledge, it's because the address of the software was being blocked by one of the servers that serve up the addresses. But just by maybe deleting it from their database, I couldn't get to it, because the database that converts the name to the IP address was somehow compromised in some way, and now I know how to change the lookup, and everyone should know how to do that. But just that fact prevented me from even getting to a website. So we can only imagine that there's official firewalls, unofficial firewalls that filter the internet for different people in different regions.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant. We can trouble. I mean, I was thinking an interesting thing that it's really the parallel for me would be when the printing press came in and that literature came through. And we've talked about all these ideas, haven't we, that this site has, I mean, P.J. Verres, Jan Erik or whatever. Over time, the history seems to be that, you know, the printing press came in, so they thought, we've got to educate people out of this religion. They're not going to, you know, once they start getting a bit educated, they're not going to quite believe, you know, this devil, hell, heaven and hell stuff. We'll have to get them into science, you know. So it totally coped with it. The system totally lived with it. People did get educated and stand up for things, but in a way, it still the benefits outweighed the it meant more control, really, because you could spread information of your propaganda more, and you could control more people over a larger area from a smaller base.
Yeah, so, and it seems so, like the smarter, more educated people are the more controlled. That's there's an irony right there.
Well, yes, they're like the barristers. And there she is. Oh,
I think I hear a female fecologist, Vidair.
Hey, Vidair.
I hear Vidair breaking up. You know it's Vidair then.
I think it's voice modulation.
She's trying to come across as a...
Say it again, Vidair.
Per game.
You're cutting in and out, Vidair. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm gonna use my headset. It's a crappy headset.
That works.
The irony, of course, is Vidair is in technology, and she has some of the lesser quality technology on this call.
Maybe she's just in the bath. It sounded like it was underwater.
Her internet connection pulled with her wireless connections wherever she is. They're just not acting and firing on all cylinders, so we only get pieces of drips and drabs, sadly.
Yeah. Well, I've got to work in the morning.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, Tom. It's great. Always great to hear from you. I'm glad you got your microphone working.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I did.
We'd still love for you to get a headset so we don't have the echo when you open your mic. But
okay, I didn't realize it was. Yeah, I put a headset or something.
Well,
yeah,
it only echoes when you have the mic open and I'm talking because I hear my annoying voice come out of your speaker, go back into your mic, and back into my ear. But otherwise, you sound great.
Sure, perhaps a little bit more. I didn't quite realize I'd be a little bit less trigger happy.
Oh, we're glad to hear.
Hey, is this better?
That's better. But if you have a headset, you avoid the feedback. That's all. I don't have to tell you that. You're a musician, for goodness sake. You specialize in sound.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not so naive as I may come across, but, you know, sometimes I just work in strange ways. I don't know.
We're human. We're hardwired to believe and be nice.
I'm not very technical. I get a sound man in, but I got my strength. I'm stupid.
A good sound man can make or break a man, can't they?
Man, you need to work together. It's teamwork. It's good fun, you know. Technical man can save you so much trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Bring in an expert.
Appeal to authority.
Exactly.
Well, it's good to see a technical man on the straight with setting up the equipment. Yeah, it's brilliant. Well, you're good.
Tom, yeah, I'm trying. Tom, since you're a big user of the site, are you okay right now with the chat software? Is it working okay for you? Do you have any questions, concerns, feedback?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you because I put a couple of messages in. I didn't know how they came across, but I think it's, I missed the old chat because it was on the front page and it was accessible, but not everyone thought that was appropriate, you know, it says there's for the world to see and anyone could go and see it without being logged on. And it was kind of, I liked that in a sense, and it was accessible. However, this Facebook styly thing is really user friendly. I mean, you can type away and chat away forever. So it's great to access to people I already know, but I can't really advertise to the outside world and meet and draw new people in on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's a limitation of the software. It's not something I've done. They claim they can't do that right now. So a couple have been the same way. So
unless we have some chat back, it's good to have anything back on there.
Yeah, well, if we go to Chatangle, then anyone can come in, and they tend to, and anyone tends to come in, and they make a huge graffiti wall, which is very uninteresting to read and or edit. But it seems like we can't have exactly a reproduction of what we had before, but sounds like you're at least making some use of this, so it has some value. But on the other hand, it does encourage people to log in, for better or for worse. Which is also good.
For sure. I mean, I don't realize, you know, sometimes you're a bit shy about it. You log in, you think, well, I don't want to seem like I'm logged in all the time because I left it on all day and I've been sitting at home all day. So I'm not, you know, Not obsessed, you know, not at all. But,
yeah. People should not worry about being logged in. There's nothing really.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's me, really. I'm just lazy. I'm just, I'm relaxed. I've got nothing to hide, you know. I'm not like, oh, God, oh God, I'm going on to fakeologist. I better be secretive. No, yeah. I could walk into my local police station and say anything that I say on here.
The strange thing is, the website logs me off all the time. I don't know if it does that to you, but I'll come back to the computer and I'll be logged off. It'll say you've been logged off. and I run the thing. So I'm surprised that doesn't happen to you.
No, but what will happen is I'll be like obsessive. So I'll just come back every few minutes and just click it, probably.
I'll reload it
just to check if anyone's updated something. I mean, I've been able to do that last few months, really, because the way I've been working, sometimes I'm just sitting here all day and I am an obsessive in front of the computer and I just flick onto it for 1 second, probably of doing that and reloading it or something.
Yeah, that must do it. Oh, I see. Yeah. Because if you're away from your computer and you're logged in, it will log you out, I'm pretty sure.
It's no problem, is it? I mean, yeah, I don't mind being logged in, logged off. I don't care. Why is it a problem? Yeah, but yeah, no, I think the site is ever interesting. Yeah.
Well, it's the people that make it interesting.
Yes, it's the real news, bit of sanity. It all goes down well. Looking at Ebola and your Ottawa one, your Canadian PSYOP, you've finally got a big one, Tim. I mean, you know.
Seems to be. It lasted at least a week.
Exactly. Yeah, big in sort of with small letters.
Yeah, it seems to have been wiped off the front page right now. But the only thing I heard about that was I get challenged all the time for my views on it because the people around me, of course, are fully subscribed to the story. But I did hear, I think, something on the radio today that it was an open coffin for the alleged person that was murdered, soldier. So that adds a layer of believability, of course.
That's the oldest trick in the book, mate. The oldest trick. We always used to do that back in the day, you know. Get him bad, make him look good. It's going to be okay. Walk a tree. They love it. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't. Yeah, I would say it's just another trick, but I don't always know how it's done. But I don't even know if it's true either. That's the thing. But that's what we're told. So that is to throw a lot of cold water on those that believe the story.
It's very sensitive when it's in your country and close to home. You know, you're very sensitive to exactly certainly around the time that it happens. I don't think it's wise to sort of make too many loud noises about you think it being fake too. I don't think, because people, you can upset people. Because it is.
Oh, my goodness,
exactly.
Yeah.
This is why they're so powerful, because they are up. They do, they're emotive. So, yeah, so you have to be a bit careful, but give it time and they'll all realize you were right, I think, on these ones. They're silly. I don't know.
Yeah. It's been pretty widely analyzed on YouTube, not by so many Canadians, but of course the international community, including the guy PK in Australia. There's no doubt everyone is on it like flies to shit. They really get quickly, including, mind you, a few shill YouTube channels. Where they, there's one guy, somebody sent me a link who just is a completely unreadable name as a YouTube handle, and he sings a song and spins crazy around those that are calling fakery. So if you looked at his channel, you would think anyone who questioned the official story was cuckoo. He did his job, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Or am I cutting out?
We can hear you, yeah.
I know that sometimes my links can be obnoxious.
There's no talking.
Well.
Oh, you're cut. You're cut out.
And I'm at home.
You're still cutting out, my dear.
I'll find it.
Yes, it doesn't surprise me that Canada has its little wave, and it is just so patterned. So this kind of Islamic fundamentalist propaganda go around in front of the war memorial. You know, I mean, good grief. You know, it's almost so obvious to us, to me anyway. But, it's pattern behavior. Just simple programs. They seem to work all right. Keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
I'm just reading Simon's post on Clues Forum about mysterious deaths of all the whistleblowers and characters around the 9/11 deception. Simon sure does a lot of good research, ongoing, continuous research on all these nooks and crannies of 9/11. Give him credit there.
He's a prolific man. Prolific.
Oh, my goodness. He's now talking about Phil Jahan and Bruce Simon. Odd theory about plane with the military plane imagery that was depicted around the World Trade Center. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. That was sort of before my time that was highly promoted.
Hey, I think I should judge. I might have to bail, guys. I think.
Oh, that's fine. It's late for you.
Yeah, cool. No, it's interesting just to sit here, like, you know, around a pub table and listen to you sort of just mumbling through, you know, clues. But, yeah, great. I'll do this again maybe soon, hopefully.
Anytime. That's what the audio chat is actually for.
Yeah.
It's not profound in any way, not intended to be.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Just come on and post your musings. You can even play a little music. It's just a different kind of forum, really.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like listening to some of the shows. Yeah, definitely. Some of the ones you put out.
Well, good.
See the other day, for example. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty interesting. A little music. Had a few things to say.
Yeah, and it was in real time, wasn't it? And he said, this is just happening here on television. I like that. You know, it's real time stuff. You know, real news.
Yeah, that was good. He just cracked open the AM radio into the microphone there. So that was pretty cool because I hadn't even heard. I don't even listen to the real radio or the old terrestrial radio. So when he did that, I found it interesting. But Tom, just before you go, did you look at my post on fakeologist.com about this radio interviewer, Jan Gomeshi, who apparently has a global audience, who Sirius satellite radio through the internet. He has this famous radio interview program. I should probably know more about him because that's sort of what I like. But I don't really follow the guy. He's a Persian who lives in Toronto now. He's being brought down in some sort of sex scandal. And maybe the English, maybe you have more familiarity with these stories because they don't really have Canada in the same way.
A Persian and sex. And maybe we're back to Freddie Mercury again.
Yeah, I thought about that. Yeah, that's something.
I didn't. The short answer is I didn't, Tim. I didn't, but I will look at that. I'll have a look. It sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I know you.
Yeah,
You find some of these things you get into. I do find very, these little angles, these unusual things to me. I like that. I like these sort of things. It sounds good, but I've been really busy playing and singing and stuff. I'm exhausted now. I've got to get up tomorrow and help my mate over at the curating these old records, which I love doing, but got to get up fairly early and go and do a cycle and do it. So, yeah. Enchanté, unreal, if you're still there. It's gone. Yeah, cheers, man. I'll check you later.
All the best. Thanks for coming on. I'm going to cut out for a minute, too.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Change back to the lobby.
Hi, this is Vidair Lissette, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.